Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome, everybody. Happy Party Friday to everybody out there. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up. I'm Julie Hayden, Chuck Bonnywell. I hear him coming down the stairs into the Chuck and Julie World Headquarters. So he'll be he's coming. He'll be joining us shortly. Hey, breaking news today that we'll talk about at the bottom of the hour. The Supreme Court issued its ruling on the challenges that some other states had made and whether Trump could use the Alien Enemies Act to deport. And they didn't actually, no shocker, weigh in the underlying issue. The Supreme Court didn't, but they, I guess it's fair to say Trump did not win, but he didn't lose either. So we'll be talking about that in a little bit. We hope to get here Carrie Lutz, the host of the Financial Survival Network, talking about the China trade deals. And then also fun, I think, we need to be doing lockup James. Chuck is rearranging the studio over here. We need to lock up James Comey, right? It's like, that's so funny that he's doing this.
Jail Comey.
I think they need to like raid his house. They need to do all the things to him that he did. Perp walk him. Exactly.
What do they do in El Salvador prisons where they walk him in, you grab the back of the neck.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's send him to El Salvador. We could do that. Okay, Carrie. Thomas is trying to get Carrie. He's having a little bit of phone issues. I think that's just hilarious, right? And maybe they could put him in jail with that Wisconsin judge who let the other illegal immigrant go through.
Yes,
they could share a cell there. So that's pretty fun. Want to talk about another thing, too. And this is making national news. You know, when elections have consequences, and a George Soros-funded Arapaho district attorney basically gave Thomas, I need to give him a different... Chuck, you talking a second. I gave him the wrong phone number.
All right. Let's see. How about those Nuggets? The Nuggets.
Oh, yeah.
Last night came back and tied the series at 3-3 against a team that won 68 games. Thanks to Jokic, they gave him a little bit of a rest. Christian Braun scored 23 points, had a great game. They had Swather come in and make shots. So Sunday's the seventh game. It should be exciting and fun.
That's right. Okay, Thomas, I'm not sure. Oh, okay. You got it. You got the right number there. Sorry. There's an operator error. That was my fault, not Thomas's fault on the phone over here. Apologize for that. Yeah, great for the Nuggets. But on this illegal immigrant, so...
And how many illegal immigrants are on the Nuggets? I don't get any. I know.
But so a 15-year-old, and this doesn't kill me. 15-year-old driving illegally, right? Driving 90 miles an hour, speed racing, T-boned, 24-year-old Caitlin Weaver in Aurora. Killed her. Killed her. And was charged with vehicular homicide. And the DA let him drop down to a plea bargain that involves no jail time. And by the way, he's applied for asylum. And by the way, we can't say his name because under Colorado law, his name isn't releasable.
And he can't. And he also can't be deported because they can't put him in a facility because they don't have those for juveniles. And therefore, he gets another 3 years. And of course, he won't be around.
No.
And his wife, of course, not his wife. His mother is applying for asylum, saying that she's under danger of lack of cosmetics or something.
So there's
not
that.
The deport back.
There's that. And then another thing to talk about today, too. There are so many things. Kids at my son's school, and I think many other schools, actually, I think my daughter years ago went there too. There's a camp, it's called Camp Hydrahaji. And this is a camp that kids, they do outdoor ed, right? They go and they spend a week in the woods and, it's a great camp. Rev loved it. I mean, he still has all the pictures and stuff that he had there. And the state of Colorado, and this is a Christian camp, the state of Colorado is saying that this camp has to now allow everyone to be transgender. So keep in mind, there's a sixth graders that go and other people too. But the state of Colorado is saying is that they have to allow boys to take showers with girls or girls to take showers with boys or men to take showers with girls and women to take showers with boys. They have to allow that. Right. And the Christian camp is like, well, we don't want to allow that. And they're like, too bad, you have to allow it, or we're going to close you down. Now,
Close you down.
thousands of kids go to this camp. So the Alliance Defending Freedom has jumped in to defend them. Okay, well, we're waiting for Kerry. I guess he got his voicemail. So maybe Thomas will go ahead and play that. So the Alliance Defending Freedom is,
Who have had on several times.
oh,
They're
they, I mean,
great.
yeah, they are great on First Amendment issues and all kinds of issues
Religious freedom and yeah.
defending yeah, conservative causes. But they've jumped in on this. I mean, it would be, yeah, these are sixth graders, at least in my son's schools. Oh, we do have them out with us. Never mind, Thomas, don't play that. We have Carrie Lutz then with us. Carrie, host of Financial Survival Network, had a great column up about some of the Chinese trade. I don't know if you'd use the word negotiations. He called it a white flag. But Carrie, hey, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Hey, honored to be on your show.
Well, thank you.
Okay, thanks for
So your
coming.
column said this is really not a tariff negotiation. This is a 90-day white flag window before China gets crushed, which I love. And why don't you explain what you mean by that?
All right. Well, first, you're in the media, I'm in the media, so we got to address the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and that is when the media reports a story, I'm talking the mainstream, lamestream media. You have to read it not for what they say, but for what they don't say. And what were the most important things that Trump was negotiating, right? Fentanyl, Taiwan, Ukraine, Russia, Venezuela, and Cuba. Those are really the key items there. And I don't know about you, but I didn't see one mention of any of those items, even at Fox News. There's some like, oh yeah, we're working on fentanyl. Now, look, you have to understand historical perspectives. In the 1800s, late 1800s, there were two opium wars, primarily led by the British against China. One was to
It
open
was the
up the
middle. It was the
market because they didn't want.
1800s. Middle
1860s. And
1800s.
then the later one was in the late 1800s. And there's a great movie with Steve McQueen called I think it was Sand Pebbles.
Oh,
And yeah, so to them, they've been fighting the third opium war, and it's retribution for the first two because they got their butts kicked, they lost Hong Kong, and they lost face. So now they're still fighting there. The United States, we've been oblivious to the fact that we've been in an economic war with China for the past 30 plus years. Trump, on the other hand, is one of his favorite books is The Art of War by Sun Tzu. And Sun Tzu says, when you know yourself and you know your enemy, you fight the war without firing a shot. And that's what happened here because what they're not reporting is way more important than soybeans and aluminum and auto parts. It's like this is everything. This is the battle. It's coming down to it. Problem is, Xi is weak now. China is crumbling in many aspects of their economy. Yeah, there are sectors that are functioning right, just like in the United States, but most of it, mass unemployment, mass youth unemployment. And there's mass protests taking place. It's like the Wild West out there, I guess the Wild East. So if he gives too much, then he's going to be perceived as weak, and the CCP will take him out, and maybe the CCP itself will be taken out. We're in a very dangerous area. The other factor is that without China, Russia collapses in 90 to 180 days. Because without China's support, not so much militarily, but there is that aspect, but economically, sending all the stuff that Russia needs, even if it's substandard, if China doesn't support Russia, that war is over because Trump has already got the pressure on Ukraine. The war will be over in 90 days. So, what you got to look for is the tripwires. Okay. Number one, less hostility towards Taiwan. All right. That's like, it looks like it's happening. Number two is a lot of unrest and a lot of collapsing going on in Venezuela, and in Cuba. Hard to differentiate that because their collapse is well underway. And then a drop off in fentanyl, which is harder to quantify for us as everyday Americans, but you will know it. And those are the tripwires. You'll see
Right.
it. You won't believe it, but they are there.
Well, and it sounds like, I mean, from reading your column too, one of the things, and that's why you said it's a 90-day white flag, that basically the situation is which Trump realized and is using, and no one else bothered to before him, is that sort of bottom line, China needs us more than we need China, right?
Well, I don't think it's, I think, yeah, on the surface, true, but
Okay.
in reality, we need them at least for a little bit,
Okay.
but we have options. They don't. And the other thing is our trade deficit with them is stated at 400 something billion, but with all the
Yeah.
transshipments taking place in multiple countries, even in Canada and Mexico, and that's part of what those tariffs are about for those countries, it's probably 50 to maybe even 100% higher, which would mean virtually our entire trade deficit is with China.
Okay.
And it's just, the country's, our country's bankrupt. The difference is that we run the bankruptcy court, China doesn't.
Where do you see this? Well, here, let me preface this. So I had lunch with a friend today who's in sales, and she was saying, some businesses are saying, well, we need to wait and see what happens with the tariffs and things like that. And I said, it's not like the media tries to paint it black and white. Trump is bad. Anything Trump says or wants to do is bad. And it's not even that simple, because I mean, even with China, am I correct? And it seems like things are, everybody has kind of what they want, but things are fluid and flexible as they kind of approach putting together a deal. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, well, it's not really about tariffs. I mean, it
Right.
is on one level because tariffs are the enforcement mechanism. They're the bear trap when the bear is not doing what it's supposed to do. And so from that standpoint, they're important, but it's like the Trump power move. Penalize first, negotiate later. Let me show you how bad things can get, and then maybe you'll be a little more reasonable. And if you're not, then this is your life. Welcome to it. Either way, I think she's finished. One way he gets removed by the CCP, the other way the CCP is removed from China. We can only hope that it's the latter instead of the former, because then we'll still have to go through a little bit of a dance before the CCP is finally excised. And it's a scourge on humanity. In the US, you got on your license whether you want to donate organs or not. In China, if you're certain minorities, you don't have any choice. If you got forced organ harvesting, that is a crime against humanity. That should not be tolerated in any civilized world. To me, that alone is reason to shut them down and let them flounder, because that is the worst of humanity. And then these wet markets, I mean, you got like dogs, dead dogs stacked up to the rafters. I mean, this is not like a civilized country. We got plenty of stuff wrong here. Don't get me wrong. I'm not holding us up as like America the perfect, because it's not. But we don't eat dogs unless they came here from China, I guess. We don't eat cats. In China, they say there's only three requirements for food. If it crawls on the earth, if it flies in the air, or it swims in the sea, it's food. And, it's just. Then you've got the tofu dreg construction epidemic in China, where literally every building in China is potentially, every new building built in the last 20 years is potentially a Champlain Towers, like what we had in Florida, in
Florida.
Miami, Surfside, the collapse. They have that multiple times per day. We have buildings collapse, but they're older buildings generally that had structural issues and deferred maintenance. We didn't build them to fall down. The Chinese are building the stuff to fall down. I mean, I've seen pictures where the
Wow.
fire inspector is there and he goes to take the hose out in like the 20th floor and turns it on, and they find out that the hose is just there, but it's not really connected to
It's not
water.
hooked up. Well,
It sounds like Los
two
Angeles.
things.
Yeah,
Sounds
really.
like Los Angeles. Well, tell us what replaces the CCP if it falls in China.
Initially chaos, but
How many centuries?
Chinese are very industrious. They're really hard workers. They've cut a lot of corners, but they're hardworking people. I mean, the Chinese people, I've been there a couple of times, they're amazing. But something, not necessarily a democracy, that hasn't really worked out for them, but some kind of hybrid system where there's at least accountability built into it. Right now, there's no accountability for anybody in China, no rule of law. So it's very hard to build I don't want to say democracy because that's the wrong term, but a functioning government that protects citizens' rights and at least attempts to act for the greater good, for the greater benefit. That's a really hard equation for a totality. And look how many times the U.S. has tried to make the world safer democracy outside of Western Europe and Japan and a few other places. We have failed miserably at it because democracy or accountable government is first and foremost a cultural phenomena, and culture is based on shared values and shared goals. And I just can't really envision at this point, because it seems so far off that the CCP could collapse, since they took
Well,
over
I can envision it because I
gradually.
spent a lot of time studying Chinese history and what happens when all these dynasties fail. It is chaos. It is slaughter. It is butchery. It fragments into 100 different groups. And so it will not be just some happy semi-Switzerland. The only thing that'll hold it together is some other totalitarian size of government. So you're not going to have happy times in China. Once the dynasty of Mao falls, it will be chaos upon chaos. We have, I think Syria is fun. If you think Iraq is
Yeah,
fun, wait till you have China.
exactly.
One thing
I
though that
think.
I find interesting and want to get your thoughts on, because I've been reading about this with Trump in the Middle East and the speech that he made, where he's saying, look, we're not worried about nation building anymore. We're just worried about getting good deals for Americans. And it kind of sounds like what he's doing in China is that also, like, I mean, I know you talked about the atrocities and things, but you don't hear Trump talking about that, right? He's just saying to China, here's what we're going to do if you don't make, you know what I mean? It doesn't seem to be nation building or lecturing them on how to run their country. He's just saying, here's what we want, and here's how what we're going to do financially. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, on the surface, yeah, I agree. He's not talking regime change, but he's saying to them behind the deal, because there's always two deals in these negotiations. There's the public deal that the mainstream media reports, and then there's the real deal. And the real deal is the fentanyl, it's IP theft, it's all of these factors. It's threatening Taiwan. It's supporting Venezuela and Cuba, violating, I would call it the Monroe Doctrine 2.0. Look, Trump took back, or is in the process of taking back, the Panama Canal. It was insane to allow the Panamanians to just subcontract out the management of it to China, because what are they going to do if something happens? They have the ability to shut it down, like, instantly. So that in itself should indicate exactly where Trump is heading. And he's striking when the iron's hot. He's striking at the moment of maximum vulnerability of the Chinese system and of Xi. Xi's apparently losing support. Hard to know the political tea leaves in China, but it would appear there's purges taking place of his allies in the military and in the upper folds of the CCP. The guy is like, he's like Mao, Chairman Mao without the charm.
Well, where do you see, you talked about the 800-pound gorilla in the room about the media and reporting on tariffs. I think the even bigger gorilla, or an equally bigger gorilla in the room, is I was a TV reporter for like 30 years, and I guarantee you that probably 99.9% of the reporters who are reporting on tariffs have no basic understanding of even what they're talking about, right? I mean, I promise you that's true. And so they don't even know what they're talking about, and that's why we have this, I think, this sway. Like I said, my sales friend was saying, oh, businesses are worried. And I said, well, what tariffs have actually been imposed? And she's like, well, I don't know. And then it's like they renegotiate. And I think you're right. I think, like you said, there's kind of the deal up here. And I think Trump isn't particularly worried about what people are. I mean, Politico had to acknowledge, no, the economy didn't collapse. And then the deal down here, which is what he really cares about.
It's the grand deal. It's the grand deal. Look, Trump's master negotiator. You know when the best time to go broke is in life? You
When?
know the best time? When you're getting divorced.
Before you get divorced, yeah.
Yeah.
Before you get
That's
divorced.
Yeah, well, if you're going to go broke, you might as well get the divorce too, because it's never
Yes.
going to be as affordable.
Yep.
And he pulled that one off. Nobody thought twice about it. I mean, he
Right.
did have legitimate financial problems, but he timed it pretty well.
Right.
And like, it's definitely, I always like, I'm a recovering attorney. My partner did loan workouts for a well-known major bank, and he would look at these loan files and he'd shake his head and he would say, I hope somebody got paid for this job, because I would hate to think we had anybody that stupid working for us. When I look at the media, when I look at the media guys, I say exactly the same thing. I say, I hope they got paid a lot of money for that story, because I'd hate to think they could really be that stupid.
Yeah, tragically, I think some are too.
Well, let's talk about what's the other great elephant in the room. Tariffs are really about one other thing, which is a bigger thing, which is what the opium wars are about. You get an enormous trade imbalance and it can't last. The British had an enormous trade imbalance because of tea. So they said, screw that. Here's some opium for you. And you don't want it? Well, guess what? And so we have these enormous trade imbalances, and tariffs are part of it, but also currency manipulation, stealing, all that. And he's got to get the trade imbalance down to something that's manageable, because then free trade, when you have two countries who have similar ones, and one's a little more here, one's a little, it really works. It does not work when you've got this massive, crushing trade imbalance, and thank God Trump's there to try to address it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's unsustainable in the long run,
Yeah.
and that combined with the budget deficit is two
Right.
spears through the heart of the country. And had it not been addressed now, we're surely heading for a currency crisis and an economic collapse. We still might be. It might be too little, too late. I don't know the answer, but the deficit is definitely going down, and the trade deficit will as well. And the weakness of the Chinese, you saw they like banned all this stuff, they put all these tariffs on, and then they walked it back because they realized, unlike us, if you don't have another iPhone case or a USB cord, I think your life is going to go on. If they
Right.
don't have the materials and the chips to make that stuff, they're finished. So what they import from us, the inputs, are much more important to them than the outputs. And then they're going to tariffs on airline parts. Half their fleet, or 35, 40% of their planes flying, are Boeing. And so, oh yeah, we'll put tariffs on all the parts, and then we'll restrict the supply. They already rejected a few planes, which Boeing instantly sold off without a thought. It's not a workable thing. One other thing I'd like to mention about fentanyl versus opium. Opium was a good business model, because it didn't kill your customer, your
Right.
end customer, as long as they didn't refine it into heroin, then that was another story. But even still, but fentanyl, it's like your product kills your customer, your end user, and you wind up, eventually your demand is going to cease to exist. Now, maybe right the way it's been, the market was expanding, but at some point the market contracts, both because people stop doing it and people die. And then what are you left with? So the opium was much smarter product marketing than fentanyl.
All right. Terry, listen, you have been wonderful. We have to let you go here, but so you host the Financial Survival Network. If people want to find you, read you, listen to you, what's the best way to do all of that?
Okay. Two things, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. I'm on all the social media stuff out there, X at Terry Lutz. And I've also written a book recently called The World According to Martin Armstrong, Conversations with the Master Forecaster. He is the foremost forecaster alive today. And when I talked to him in 2018, he said that the Dow Jones was hitting 45,000 between 2022 and 2024. And December 14th, 2024, guess what happened?
So,
The World According to Martin Armstrong, it's on Amazon and wherever fine books used to be sold.
All right, sir.
Terry, thanks so much for coming on. Yep. We enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you, Kerry. Thank you.
Likewise, anytime.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Kerry Lutz, their host of the Financial Survival Network. I just think it's interesting to understand the tariffs because Charlene is saying, yes, Martin Armstrong is the best. Again, because people are, they're saying, oh, the tariffs here, the tariffs there. And I'm like, have any actually been imposed or have stayed imposed? It's hard to keep track of and he's negotiating deals, but the media makes it sound like this is giant.
Tariffs are just a method to address the trade imbalance. And how you address it's lots of different ways. And Trump has that down. I mean,
right.
In fact, all his tariff imposing on the world were how big is the trade deficit with your country and the United States? And if it was big, then he massively increased the tariffs. It was pretty even, then no or little tariffs.
So yes, exactly. So, and want to move on now to some, because it's Party Friday. The FBI, Secret Service, and the Department of Justice in general are investigating James Comey. So I don't know if you saw this. He has an Instagram account, which has now since been completely deleted, not just this post, but completely deleted, like on a beach, and shells had been arranged in this
paper. A very neat pattern.
And a very neat pad.
Which means they weren't just put there 2 days ago. I mean,
Right,
5 seconds ago before
they took
a picture.
And it was 86. 47. Now, everybody knows, pretty much everybody knows, 86 is a reference to killing. It's, I think, essentially the California penal code for homicide, right? And back in the day, it was a big gang thing. They would put 86 on. No, what is it? Okay, I'm wrong.
Julie is wrong.
Uh-oh.
It's a phrase that came out of England.
Oh, before, okay.
And what it refers to is how long's your coffin? 8 feet. Mm-hmm. How deep does it go?
Oh,
6 feet.
Brilliant.
So 86 means death.
I always thought it was a gang thing too, but okay. Anyway, but oh, good. And Thomas has just put thank you for grabbing that. Thomas has just put the screen. So these are the shells that James Comey posted on his Instagram account, which clearly mean assassinate 47, keeping in mind there have already been two assassination attempts on Donald Trump, right? And so James Comey, now everyone is, they're jumping up and down, and he's like, oh, I had no idea. I just stumbled upon that and thought it was a cute picture, which of course no one believes. And everyone is now, I think they need to investigate him. They need to drag him in. They need to question him.
They need to do a General Flynn on him.
Yeah.
Send over the FBI officers and then interview him and then decide no matter what he says. And
you're going to get him in a perjury trap.
Yeah, well.
But David, you walk on the beach.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and did you touch those shells? Did you? I mean, just go through all the things. And he'll start lying.
Exactly. And then raid his house and seize his cell phone, right?
Yeah. And take that ugly daughter is in the DOJ, and also perp walk her out, and her.
That's right. Yeah, we do need to get rid of
attorney husband is also in the DOJ.
We need to get rid of them. But it is interesting. So, Kash Patel confirmed, yes, the FBI is investigating, the Secret Service is investigating, and then Tulsi Gabbard said, "Lock him up, Thomas." That's if we great. Could please play the Tulsi Gabbard soundbite.
Like him, who issued direct threats against the President of the United States, essentially issuing a call to assassinate him, must be held accountable under the law.
Do you believe Comey should be in jail?
I do. Any other person with the position of influence that he has, people who take very seriously what a guy of his stature, his experience, and what the propaganda media has built him up to be, I'm very concerned for the president's life. We've already seen assassination attempts. I'm very concerned for his life. And James Comey, in my view, should be held accountable and put behind bars for this.
Yay.
All right.
And then Trump addressed it too. Thomas, if you could please play the Trump soundbite.
He knew exactly what that meant. A child knows what that meant. If you're the FBI director and you don't know what that meant assassination. And it says it loud and clear. Now, he wasn't very competent, but he was competent enough to know what that meant. And he did it for a reason, and he was hit so hard. Because people like me, and they like what's happening with our country. Our country's become respected again, and all this. And he's calling for the assassination of the president.
Obviously, he apologized and said he doesn't.
Well, he apologized
for
violence,
but
look, he's a very.
What do you want to see happen?
I don't want to take a position on it because that's going to be up to Pam and all of the great people. But I will say this: I think it's a terrible thing. And when you add his history to that, if he had a clean history, he doesn't. He's a dirty cop. And if he had a clean history, I could understand if there was a leniency, but I'm going to let them make that decision.
Oh, exactly.
Well, he said it's going to solve it. You know, shut up, Brett.
Yeah,
we don't want to hear you mumbling under your breath.
He apologized for calling the assassination of the president.
I apologize.
Yeah, Charlene, isn't his daughter running the Diddy investigation? Exactly.
Yeah,
transferred to
yeah.
Mississippi. Well, fire her, right? And his
Get
daughter.
Rid of her.
And she knows what happened.
And her husband is also in the DOJ and a lawyer.
She's in the Southern District of New York. That's the Epstein place.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, the Fox guy trying to give Comey an out.
Right.
It's just ridiculous.
I love the technique. He said it on her. You just whisper under your breath.
Well, then he even kind of stopped it because he knew it was a stupid thing to say.
It's because Trump stopped him. But
he didn't push it, right? He was like,
well, because it was a dumb thing to say. You're right.
It was a stupid thing to say, and he was realizing that. But again, I mean, let's go back to all the things that Comey did. You're right. I mean, raid his house. Right? Seize his cell phone, see if he was texting that picture to anybody in particular. Maybe he was texting it to a hired killer or something like that, right? Let's see who he was texting it to. Maybe he was texting it to Antifa or crazy people. I mean, this is James Comey who lied about everything and anything.
Well, he went to the president.
Lied to the president.
Lied to the president, took notes of the conversation. And then when he left, he leaked it to a friend who leaked it to the press because it is unlawful to leak a confidential presidential conversations. Nothing
happened.
No, it was fine. And he took Flynn and absolutely screwed him. Absolutely said that, you know, the FBI people said, no, we thought telling the truth. Bullshit. And off they go.
And like you said, grill him for 3 hours and then get him in a perjury trap for whatever. And in the meantime, arrest him for suggesting that somebody assassinate the president. Again, keeping in mind that two people have tried to assassinate the president, right? The president came like a head turn away from being assassinated.
Hit him with the bad art felony. Art felony ought to be go off against him.
That's right. Some kind of thing. And the other thing they're talking about doing, and I hope that they do, is have the Department of Justice. Did you see those Democrat representatives who essentially attacked the ICE agents, right?
Pushing and shoving.
They're thinking about charging them with assault too. Again, let's go back to, if I went up to an ICE agent and started doing I'm pretty sure something bad would happen to me.
And when the guy said, don't touch me, he said, I touch whoever I want, MF. I mean, you know, okay.
Oh, that's a little inappropriate.
Don't you think?
So to me, it's like, hey, that's just...
Charge these bastards.
Charge them, exactly. So that'll be just... And in the meantime, though, I think it's okay, guys. I'm giving us all permission to say we can gloat. It's okay to gloat and to hope that Comey is totally tortured and that they drag him in maybe Monday. That's what I hope.
Okay.
You know, do it quickly. Okay. Don't let him get away with it because
longer he's free, the less safe we are.
It's like, who cares even if it would stand up in court? Again, just question him and then charge him with some kind
charge
of weird.
Charge him in Oklahoma.
In Florida.
Some. Where 98% of the people voted for Trump.
That we could say that was on the beach.
Yeah.
That was the beach in Florida.
Virginia,
the other breaking news thing, and I'm going to read this to make sure I got it right.
Okay.
So just this afternoon in a 7-2 decision, the Supreme Court basically, regarding the case that they were hearing about Trump deporting these Venezuelans using the Alien Enemies Act. right? And like all of the Soros-funded states and district attorneys and attorney generals sued over that. An appellate court and the Supreme Court put it sort of on hold. And what the Supreme Court did today is said that the administration has to give the potential deportees under the Alien Enemies Act more time to challenge the act. Apparently, in the specific case that was brought before them, they had like less than 24 hours. And they said they did not want to give any ruling as to what the exact administrative process or due process should be. They sent it back to the appellate court to do that. But then they said, which is interesting, they said, to be clear, we decide today only that the detainees are entitled to more notice than was given. We are not ruling at all on whether the president can or cannot use this act, which to me kind of indicates they believe he can. Otherwise, it would have just
said. Who are the two dissenters?
It was Alito and I forget who else, but they basically said that they just didn't think the court had jurisdiction at this point. I'm not sure why they said that. I didn't.
So this too conservative.
But they weren't opposed to it. They appeared to be opposed to it on sort of procedural grounds as opposed to. So yeah, you're the lawyer. I mean, to me, the fact that they didn't just toss it out means that they probably think the president can use it, but that he has to give more notice.
It's you know, it's 7-2. Who knows? You know, the three strong liberals think he doesn't have any authority to do it, and the rest were. Who knows what they think, but it's as you articulately said, it's neither a victory nor a loss.
Right, exactly. You know, and I have to say, just my personal thing is, I mean, if they had said he can't use the act, I would have disagreed with that, right? But because I think he gets to decide whether he can use it or not, right? Not the courts. But I don't have a problem with giving them more time to challenge it. And I think in the end, it accomplishes sort of the same goal, and that is it discourages illegal immigration and it encourages people to self-deport. But I don't have a problem with saying you have to give, you know, more than, you know, a few hours.
Well, the problem is if you give them due process, you have 10 million due process, and it never occurs.
That's what the president has said.
And it, you know, it would have been a good solution, although the Supreme Court couldn't impose it, is say people who are deported without a long hearing or whatever else can challenge it before an administrative person in the country they're deported to. But, you know, if the embassy will provide somebody who for a hearing says, I wasn't Diego Garcia, I was somebody else. And because they will make mistakes. I mean,
right.
The government always makes mistakes. And it does seem that they ought to, but it shouldn't be why we pile up tens of millions.
No, and that's the trouble, because here's what's going to happen. And the Supreme Court, I also think, kind of just kicked the can down the road. So some progressive appellate court is going to say every single person is entitled to
legal representation,
released on bond or released on whatever, and we're going to have to pay for the representation. And I mean, so now you're going to have millions of those. So in effect, they will try to shut it down.
Yes.
And then they'll have to appeal that. So it's a mess. But I think, again, I think we need to remain optimistic, because in the end, I think Trump is accomplishing essentially what we want to have accomplished, and that is the decrease in illegal immigration. These are court battles, he's sort of fundamentally changed what the Democrats and Biden were attempting to do, which is destroy the country.
Well, it's a two-part thing. One part is stopping new people from coming in, and there they get an A+. I mean, they've shut the border down other than, you know, the most minor of transgressions across the border. So you got to give them enormous credit for that. Now, the part two is how do you get rid of the 10 to 20 million that Biden let in?
Yeah.
And they're struggling to try to get that done. And they're hoping to self-deport. And I think, you know, if you gave everyone $100,000, you'd be saving money because we're giving them that much.
Well, you just quit giving them free stuff. So, we have breaking news from Charlene. Now, this is from a guy on X, Benny Johnson, breaking former, thank you, Charlene, by the way, former FBI Director James Comey is reportedly under Secret Service escort to the Washington field office for questioning by investigators. And this is from Jacob, too, that Comey, thank you, Thomas. Well, let's talk about this for a second. You got to be careful sometimes on X. I've seen stuff on there that is not true, and
Benny Johnson, I've heard before.
Yeah, exactly. And this wouldn't surprise me. And this is kind of the way that Trump rolls, right, these days. It's like they don't, like, wait for weeks
and
weeks.
It's not Trump. It's Bondi and it's
right. And it's like, okay, James Comey did this. Let's just drag him in right now, you know?
Yeah.
And then set him up. And then from Jacob, the Comey Comey story follows the Schiff story that follows the Letitia James story.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Remember when every time Trump is indicted or convicted for crimes not committed, Trump's approval numbers went up? I think the same is going to happen every time the federal courts rule against Trump. I think you're right, because Jacob, what's going on is Trump is trying to carry out what people elected him to do. So the perception is that the courts are ruling against the people as well. And that only gets tolerated for so long before people start saying, screw the courts. And it makes it a lot easier as time goes on for
people to say, screw the courts. Stupid Republican people in Congress ought to be emphasizing, say, you know, we're going to get rid of the district courts. We're going to cut the, you know, do all these kind of things. So the person you'd influence is Robert saying, oh, I don't want the whole system to go down.
That's right. Let's see. Oh, and then Jacob, remember, Comey will say no jury would find Hillary guilty. Yeah. And for the same reason, no one will find Comey guilty.
No reasonable prosecutor would be
indicted. I don't even care, really, if somebody would find Comey guilty or not of this. I just am glad they're slapping him down, right? And I hope they arrest those representatives for assaulting the ICE agents, right? These Democrats have this arrogance that they've been able to get away with stuff for years. I mean, again,
it's been a one-way boxing match.
Right.
Where we've had our hands tied behind our back, and they pummeled us. And we finally had our hands released, and we're supposed to just sit there and duck and cover. No. You got to set
punch
your own
back.
Punches.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And again, I'd seize his cell phone and I'd interview him for hours and then say, well, you lied about this and make him plead guilty to.
When did you call someone? Oh, it was 941, not 944.
Exactly. And just torture him. I mean, and let's enjoy it while they do. I really hope that that's true, because that would totally serve Comey right. And plus, what a moron. Right. I mean, and it's
he's gotten away with it his whole fucking life.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. What else was there? Jacob had a point about the XL. Remember, where was it? He was talking about that. The Chinese installing hearing devices in the solar panels they're building for installation in the U.S. Yeah, I wonder if the electric meters installed by Xcel are transmitters and receivers for the hearing devices and solar panels.
I don't doubt.
Yeah, I don't doubt. Xcel is not a, don't doubt
you
anything.
You can't trust them.
No, you can't trust them at all. Back to the 19-year-old, because Dr. Donnie had a question about that. So again, this the district attorney, what's her name, Amy Patton, was funded by Soros. She was one of the Soros-funded attorneys.
Yes.
And keep in mind, this was a district that George Brockler, he was the district attorney for a long time.
Sort of, kind of. He was much bigger district, Arapahoe County.
Right. It was the 18th judicial district, right. But if George Brockler had been there, I guarantee you this.
Well, he was there, because this happened when at least his business partner, Kellner, was DA.
Right, but
who promised the families that, you know, this person was
charged him with vehicular homicide, right?
And guess not.
So then elections have consequences, right?
And they say, you know, the claim from Penny, I didn't know about it. It was handled by another person in the office. So one or two things happen. She's incompetent, grossly incompetent, where attorneys don't consult with the head DA when they're about to do something controversial, or she's lying. And I don't care which of the two it is, but it's one of the two. It's one of the two.
Well, and so this 15-year-old, he's driving illegally. He's speed racing illegally. He T-bones this young woman, kills her, right? None of which would have happened if he had not been in the country. If Joe Biden had kept the borders closed, 24-year-old Caitlin Reaver would be 25 years old today and living her life, right? And like, no one says anything to her family about that, right? Amy Patton doesn't say anything. Keeping in mind now, so he gets to apply for asylum. Right. Mm-hmm. Which in Denver, I'm sure, you know, and he's probably gotten free stuff from Denver, Aurora, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
And in the meantime,
one got dinged.
Because he's 15 years old. In the meantime, we can't say his name. Right. His name isn't released by the court. So let's see this again. Oh, yeah. This is Charlene is just on fire today. This is also true. Kash Patel also about the FBI said they're going to move. They're going to move the FBI out of the Hoover building. Right.
Which would be great. I'm not sure where they're going to go.
Well, what he said is there are 11,000 FBI agents in Washington, D.C. Removing 1,500, every state gets a plus up. The FBI is leaving the Hoover building unsafe for our workforce. I think what he's going to do is send them out to the, which of course,
well, you got to leave some in Washington.
But we don't want them here. That's the only thing. Keep
them
there.
Not in Denver. We don't want them or here in Westminster. Not in Westminster.
The other thing that I want to talk about finally is what I just talked about a little bit at the beginning. There's a camp. It's called Camp Idrahaji. It's a Christian camp in the mountains. And you know, Rev and the kids at the Academy of Charter Schools in sixth grade, it's like sort of the highlight of sixth grade. The beginning of year, they all go on a 3 or 4 night. It's an outdoor ed, right? And they go from other schools too. I think my daughter went there. This has been going on for years. It's a Christian school. It's a great experience. The kids...
Not so much anymore.
No, love it. But and as is appropriate, they have boys' tents, not boys' cabins and girls' cabins. Oh, okay. They have boys' showers and girls' showers.
Okay.
But the state of Colorado is now saying they will shut this place down if they don't allow boys to take showers with girls and girls to take showers with boys. If somebody just goes up there, let's say a Jefferson County school teacher who hasn't yet been arrested for sex
assault. Says I identify with both of you people.
Says I identify with everybody, so I'm going to have one big happy shower with all of these sixth graders. That they have to let that happen. And the school is saying, or the school, the campus saying, no, this violates pretty much everything we believe in. And the Alliance Defending Freedom has filed a lawsuit on their behalf trying to stop this. So Thomas, it's hard to spell, but easy to say, if you could play the Idra Haji soundbite.
Idra Haji.
Defending Freedom.
Well, Idra Haji, it's a Christian camp, summer camp. They serve about 3,000 plus campers each summer. And while it's a Christ-centered camp, it welcomes children of all faiths and backgrounds to its camps each and every year. But it does require campers to and their parents to abide by the camp's Christian policies. The problem is the state created these new regulations that attempt to force the camp to disregard its own faith and mission and require it to allow kids to use shower, dressing, and sleeping facilities based on their chosen identity. So boys, for example, would be allowed into girls' private spaces and vice versa. The camp absolutely cannot do that. They requested an exemption on multiple occasions from the state, a religious exemption, but that request was denied. So if it doesn't adopt Colorado's extreme policies, it could lose its license. And so that's why ADF got involved and we filed a federal lawsuit. This is a situation where the state's trying to ram down its ideology down the throat of this great religious organization. And you know, Colorado simply can't force kids to shower, dress, and share a room with kids of the opposite sex. And we're going to fight it. This is a First Amendment issue. Religious camps have the right to be religious. It's commonsensical, but it's also embedded in our First Amendment.
Well, yeah. And let's just talk about the kids' rights, too. I mean, we're talking about kids. We're talking about sixth graders, right? And these are the kind of things, if you have an over... It's one of those... It's just crazy. Like, first... You take the very, very small minority and you have to impose that on the majority, right? And
sure.
Second of all, you ignore the fact that there are people out there, again, like Jefferson County school teachers, who love to, and they come here to take advantage of these kind of rules so that they can be a male counselor and take a shower with the girls, right? Because I mean, if you have a problem with this as a parent, you can opt out of, I mean, if your kid wants to take showers, if your kid is a boy and really wants to take showers with girls, you can just opt out and not send your kid there,
Head over to the rainbow camp.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is outrageous what the state of Colorado is trying to shove down our throats and with some of the legislation that's passed. And it is outrageous that this kind of thing they just can't let kids go have fun and let the camp be the camp, right? There are plenty of other camps. If you want to go there, if this is something that you're concerned about, there are plenty of other camps. You could go to those summer camps in Boulder that teach, you know, toddlers how to masturbate or something like that, right? You can go to that camp.
A good traditional camp.
It's just outrageous. And it's outrageous that this camp has to spend money and defend itself to keep these policies going. I mean, they've been making kids happy for decades, right?
And can last. No, stop it.
We cannot have kids go and enjoy an outdoor educational experience. It has to turn into this whole bizarre pedophilia driven sex thing, right? And so who would want their kid to go there? Because it'll crush it, right? If you knew, like I know, if Rev was like, look, I think there's this girl that wants to shower with us or vice versa, as a parent, you'd have to be like, I don't know, but I want my sixth grader dealing with this. So thank goodness and thank God for the Alliance Defending Freedom.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, you know, it's disgusting what's happening to the state of Colorado.
The governor is disgusting, the legislature is disgusting, and the bureaucrats who adopted these rules and regulations are disgusting, and nothing can be done about it because
Democrats control. So finally, since it's Party Friday, let's think about James Comey. James Comey some more. Being dragged into, not cocktail hour, but being dragged into the Secret Service building or the FBI building for questioning. So just think
You've
about
ever
that.
Been here before?
Maybe they let him see his old office.
Well, you know, if you're Comey, you know, he knows how this works and how it's just a perjury trap. Does he speak up? you know, because he's He'd be required to lie. He didn't just walk down the beach and
No,
discover and look over and take
he
a
had no
picture.
idea what it meant,
And he
right?
knows that maybe there's somebody took a video that day and show him, putting all the little sand pebbles. So he's probably going to take the Fifth Amendment
Well, and it could
stuff.
just be AI generated too, right? I mean,
No,
well, and
no.
if that's true, then that's on his computer. So hopefully they would have to do that. So, oh yeah, Thomas is saying we'd love it if they live streamed the interrogation.
Make it a public
They
event.
should do that. They should do that. Okay, well, that's going to wrap us up
That's it.
on this Party Friday. Thank you, everybody on Zoom. Great guys at BBS.
Appreciate our guests and appreciate all of you.
Yeah, and thanks for listening. We'll see you on Monday.